Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast. Today I wanted to talk to you about being the perfect supply. This is something I've heard about many times, so I thought we could address it on the show today. Many times people believe it's possible to be the perfect supply and keep the relationship going. This is usually done as a way to avoid the relationship ending or as a way to control the narcissistic person's behavior and keep them from being abusive or from cheating, depending on what type of relationship it is. Aside from serious concerns about the basic unhealthiness of this desire or this mindset, it's important for people to understand something else. It won't work. In a very real sense, pathologically narcissistic people need other people to survive. With no way to create or regulate their own self-worth, they have to receive an endless flow of attention, validation, and more from other people. A supply. Otherwise, it's like a pitcher with a hole in the bottom. It will never get full, but as long as you keep pouring water into it, it stays at a more or less constant level. However, as soon as you stop pouring, the water all runs out and the pitcher is empty again. When a person's self-worth bottoms out like that, they are in for a very hard time, and narcissists are no different. This is the point where they often decompensate. Some people call that collapsing. They panic. They may even become suicidal, and it can happen very, very quickly, sometimes within a matter of hours. As soon as the flow or supply to their defective pitcher is restored, they usually bounce back pretty quickly, almost like nothing ever happened. The mask goes back in place and we're right back where we started. It's important to understand that the supply you are offering is not without its problems. You see, pathologically narcissistic people need others for something else too. Their self-esteem is very, very fragile, as we have discussed many times. The normal stresses and blows to the ego that are nothing to most people are intolerable with such little self-worth. They cannot abide by anything less than perfection because any flaw or mistake, no matter how small, is considered a terrible failing and an indictment of character. It is seen as proof of their worthlessness. But no one is perfect. No one is flawless. Everybody makes mistakes. The narcissist avoids the enormous pain of these basic human flaws, imperfection, and mistakes through denial and projection by blaming them on other people. In other words, you are literally there in part to take the blame for things so that they don't have to. Now, saying it like that sounds petty, so it's imperative to understand that a pathologically narcissistic person considers these things to be intolerable. This is more than just someone who doesn't want to admit something or doesn't want to take blame. These things represent serious harm and danger to a narcissist. If this is one of your main functions in the relationship, how can you be the perfect supply? How can you give perfect love when you are so terribly flawed? Worse than that, how can you reflect the perfect idealized image of themselves that pathologically narcissistic people need to see when you've been tainted by all the terrible things they've done? You've seen behind the perfect facade, and now all you reflect back to them is the knowledge that they're not perfect after all. This is one of the reasons they value the supply and attention from people they barely know over those they know well, like their family. Those people can't reflect the narcissist's flaws and failings back to them because they don't know any of them. The supply from those people is much more satisfying and more pure because it's not tainted by anything. When someone they don't know says something good about them, the narcissistic person can't convince themselves that the person doesn't really feel that way because there's no reason to. They've never done anything to that person. This is why they fear exposure. Exposure ruins that pure supply, those good opinions. Anyone who knows the pathologically narcissistic person in a more intimate capacity is a potential danger and ultimately an enemy. It's a rigged game from the beginning, and everyone loses. The narcissistic person has set themselves up in a situation where they can never really get what they need, and you are in a situation where you're being asked to do something that's impossible. Even if we disregard the totally unrealistic demand for perfection that's being made of you, how can you ever be perfect when someone rejects all of your good qualities and even makes up bad ones that you don't have? It's a setup. There's no way for you to succeed at what you're being asked to do. If I gave you a pitcher with a huge hole in the bottom and I told you that you needed to completely fill that pitcher to the brim with water or you were a failure, you would tell me that I was ridiculous. If I then proceeded to punish and abuse you because you did not succeed at doing that, you would probably leave that situation. Why? because I'm not being fair. I'm demanding something of you that is impossible. I'm putting you in a situation that is inherently deficient and asking you to perform perfectly. This is the same thing the narcissistic person is doing. You're pouring your energy, your love, and yourself down a bottomless pit, and you're being abused because you can't fill it. It's pointless to participate in that. It's not possible to do what they're asking. You will only exhaust yourself trying, and then they'll probably discard you anyway. Everything pathologically narcissistic people do is to secure flow into that picture. This is why they cheat. This is why they gaslight. This is why they manipulate. This is why they do everything. No one person will ever be enough for very long. Everyone becomes tainted in the end, either because they see behind the facade of the narcissist and can therefore expose them, or because the narcissistic person cannot find a flaw in the person and they begin to hate them because they're jealous. That's the saddest part of this entire thing. Even if you could become absolutely, totally perfect, they would still not be happy. Instead of hating you for being flawed, they would hate you for being perfect. You cannot win. Your jobs in this relationship are give them the perfect unconditional love they desire by reflecting their perfect self back to them always, and to be the disgustingly flawed scapegoat they can blame everything on. And if you think about it for a minute, you will see that this is so. Unfortunately, these two things cancel each other out. You can't be perfect if you're flawed. You can't be flawed if you're perfect. There's no way to fulfill both of these requirements. It cannot be done. Even if you were the perfect victim, so to speak, someone with no boundaries, who always took the blame and never asserted yourself, someone who worshipped the narcissist and saw them as godlike, who let them do whatever they wanted to do and still loved them and never chastised them, it still would not be good enough. Their opinion of you would be extremely low and you would be treated terribly. They would still go to others for supply as well. What good is supply from someone who is that pathetic? In the end, the idea that you can be the perfect supply is a fantasy. It's not realistic in any way, and more than that, it's really unhealthy. There's no chance that you can become perfect enough for a person who does not understand love to love you. It will not happen. You have to focus more on loving yourself. This is a bitter pill to swallow, but there is a part of you that is convinced that the narcissist is not only just what you need, but exactly what you deserve. You have to heal that part and free yourself. You start by realizing that you are looking for the answer in the wrong place. Other people cannot heal you. They cannot fix you. They cannot save you. They cannot complete you. You have to do these things for yourself, and you do that by realizing where the solution is. You cannot find your car in the house. You cannot find your bed outside. You will not find something if you're looking for it in the wrong place. The answer is in you. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online and over the phone, so if you're interested in speaking with me, visit littleshaman.org and click the Book an Appointment tab to go ahead and do that. Don't forget, I have created a 12-step program to help you detox from your toxic relationship. It's called the Toxic Relationship Recovery Assistance Program, or TRAP, T-R-R-A-P. And there's nothing to sign up for. You don't have to pay for anything. It's free. You can go on littleshaman.org to start getting started on that. And we are going to be having support meetings online. I will post all the details for that on my Facebook page, Little Shaman Healing on Facebook. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org. That's me, Little Shaman. May the Great Spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.